Hello again and welcome to another episode of Quick Question with Soren and Daniel, the podcast where two best friends and comedy writers ask each other questions and give each other answers. I am one half of that podcast, author and scuba student Daniel O'Brien, joined as always by my co-host Mr. Soren Bowie. Soren, say hello.
Hello everybody, I'm Soren Bowie, I'm a writer for American Dad, and it's just now occurring to me, I don't know where our intro music came from, and it seems criminal, seems lunch money criminal, that you didn't create the music for us.
I'm trying to think if I did, in fact, create it. I don't think I did.
No, I think it's... It sounds very pulled from, like, a stock.
Yeah, was it... It wasn't, like, Dan Campana somehow?
No, I think at some point, Bacon just made an executive decision and was like... He started just listening through a bunch of free credit tracks and was like, okay, this one will do. And that was it.
Yeah.
And that's who what we have now.
So here's... I can definitely confirm that Gabe did not make it or have a hand in it.
No.
Because we started before, this predates Gabe.
Yeah, he wasn't born yet.
Yeah, yeah. He was but a twinkle in our shared eye. So I can't be insulting him. I do not like it.
No, I don't either. Wait, so there was a moment where you thought maybe you had created it and you're like, it sucks, but this is what it'll have to, is what it'll have to be.
Because we've been doing this podcast for what feels like a lifetime, and I hear that music come up and it's like the After Hours theme, which was definitely made by me, Abe, and Michael Swaim, where I listen to it and it's like, this isn't the greatest piece of music in the world, but what do you want? We're fucking comedians.
Yeah.
And that when I listen to the Quick Question theme song, I'm like, that's not my favorite thing I've ever done, but you know, it's pretty impressive considering I don't play whatever instrument that is.
And so let's see, when you did Agents of Cracked, did your brother create that music for the show?
Yes,
that is wonderful. It's a wonderful little piece of music that like, and I there are little things in my house where I walk around and I thought when I first moved in that I would change them and I just become blind to them. And it wasn't until today where I was like, wait a second, our song sucks.
Yeah. I feel like I remember when we were first talking about doing this podcast and I thought I was going to devote a whole lot more time and energy to it. Not creating the theme song, but like really going through every podcast that I listened to and thinking about their theme songs and what I liked about them and like writing out notes for like, this is the right length. This is the right kind of vibe. This is what we should be doing. Here are podcast theme songs that are great to listen to like 10 times, but then you hate that it comes on because it's too long. And I guess I either never gave anyone those notes or gave them and they were ignored because at no point did I ever say my favorite kind of podcast theme song is sort of like a grating electronic assault.
Now, I did make our the theme song for when we had a sports corner.
That's right.
And I really liked that one. It was exactly what I wanted it to be, which was a song that I hated, but it was like like wailing, shrilly guitar with some like heavy drums underneath.
Yeah.
Thanks to BetterHelp for supporting Quick Question. For 10% off your first month, go to betterhelp.com/QQ. Start living a better life today.
Thanks to Hawthorne for supporting Quick Question. Hawthorne is a premium grooming brand that tailors your personal care routine for your unique profile with skincare and hair care made just for you. Take Hawthorne's quiz today and get started on your personalized self-care routine at hawthorne.co and use promo code QQ to get 10% off your first purchase.
Let's thank Honey for sponsoring this episode. No, not my wife. Honey, these days it feels like online shopping is the only shopping we really do. That's where Honey comes in. It's the free browser extension that scours the internet for promo codes and automatically applies the best ones available at checkout. Go to joinhoney.com/QQ.
I think Reply All has maybe my favorite piece of music as their theme song.
Yeah, Breakmaster Cylinder is, and there's a couple of other things that Breakmaster Cylinder has done for Gimlet, and I love it. And in fact, actually all of the Gimlet shows I really love. They had a show called, what was it? Oh, Star hosted it. They did You'll Go Far, which is a really great song. Heavyweight has a really great song as their theme song. God, we need a better one.
Yeah. Hey, can we put, I wonder, Our audience always surprises us when I learn literally any information about them. It's always a surprise to me. So I wonder if we've got any musicians or audio engineers out there that would like to submit songs, and we could play them on the show. And if one of them becomes our theme song, we'll give some amount of money. Can I make that promise?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm made of money. I don't know if you heard about my fight on the train. I'm made of money, Dan.
All right. So
we'll make it official. I guess.
Yeah. Everyone email your original song compositions to,
the quick question email
quick
address?
Question.
What is our email again?
QQ with Soren and Daniel at gmail.com.
Yeah. That's right, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. Then yes, please email them there. We haven't even, Rick, really, there's no amount of money has been specified as of this point.
No.
So don't like break your back trying to make this song for us.
Yeah. Cause I have a figure in my head, and this contest is designed for someone who is in it for love of the game and not necessarily.
Yeah.
No one's retiring off this prize.
No, probably not.
But since we're talking about music, we should continue doing that.
Oh, okay.
You texted me today with some exciting news. Hey, quick question, Soren.
Go ahead.
Can you tell me that thing again that you texted me earlier?
Yeah, I was sitting in my car and listening to, so now, you know, Spotify creates playlists around what you've been listening to. And right. And I gave Steel Train a real fair shake at the gym and everything. Like,
this is, I gave this album to you, a Steel Train album to you years ago.
Let me back up. So years and years ago, Daniel gave me a CD back when everyone had CD players. And it was this band that he liked called Steel Train. And it was like this was a solemn occasion where he, both hands, delivered this thing to me and was like, this is music that I like. And I think maybe you would like. I never talked to Dan about it ever again. I never listened to it again. I didn't listen to it even once, I don't think. and that was wrong of me. I'll acknowledge that. That, let me also say that I was the bad guy in this situation. And then we brought it up on the podcast. So I thought I should give it a real try. And I listened to Steel Train and I was like, yeah, I see why Dan likes this. And I was like, it's fine. It's not like I'm not playing the songs over and over in my head. But the other day I was sitting in my car, Spotify created a playlist for me based on my lessons, and Steel Train popped up on there, a song called Bullet. And I was like,
yeah,
this song slaps, man. This song is really good. What is this? What? And I like look on my car and I was like, oh, he got me. He got me. I became a fan of Steel Train. And so I texted Dan today saying, I like Steel Train now.
It's very exciting to me. And the timing is really interesting. For the purposes of mining our lives for content for this show, because you are coming to Steel Train late, and Steel Train as a band does not exist anymore. The guitarist and lead singer and principal songwriter Jack Antonoff is now the most prolific songwriter and producer in pop music, and has a separate endeavor called Bleachers. And before that, he was with the band Fun. So he's just been like top of the pop charts for the last 10 years now, probably more. So Steel Train is never going to happen again, as far as I know. But the wild thing about coming to Steel Train late is that band had a completely different lead singer with an entirely different vibe when they first started out. And it was like several albums with this one guy who had a genuinely beautiful, low-key voice. He a great singer, but just like he was like very mellow, very subdued, just a pleasant sounding guy you want to hear sing lullabies to you. And a lot of us, me and my friends, came to this band from other bands that were just like popular in New Jersey. A bunch of them formed and broke up and then made Steel Train. So we were like along for the ride of Steel Train. A few albums in, the original lead singer leaves, and Jack Antonoff, the guitarist, becomes the lead singer. And he has got such a dramatically different voice from this original guy. Because, again, the original guy is this, like, mellow, subdued lullaby guy. And Jack Antonoff has that kind of jacked-up, janky-ass, spazzy voice that I, like, naturally gravitate towards. I think if you can hear it still even in Bleachers, just this very, like, wild, character heavy voice that he's got. Two completely different vibes for the same band. And if you are someone like me or my childhood friends or like diehard Steel Train fans, you're just like along for the ride. You're here no matter what because you're brand loyal to this band. It's and you are ride or die with whatever changes they have. I wonder what it's like for you, because if you just now found Steel Train and you liked one song, you can't go to Spotify and just say,
right,
play Steel Train, because there's no guarantee that you're gonna like all of that.
Yeah, it's all over the place. Okay. That's true of most bands though. Like my favorite band of all time is Ween. And I will say, even though they didn't like move around a lot in terms of people in the band, I find some Ween songs completely unlistenable. Some of them are some of the worst songs I've ever heard in my life, but that's just a testament to how good the great ones are that they pull me back in and are like some of the best songs I've ever heard.
Yeah. I wanted to talk to you about this because Ween is adjacent to a band that I'm thinking about for this specific topic. The same way that Steel Train popped up for you, They Might Be Giants will occasionally pop up in thanks to the Spotify algorithm, because there's so much overlap between They Might Be Giants and the kind of stuff that I regularly listen to. But I'm so aware that so much of their music is weird and sucks fucking shit that I have been working this, I guess, lifetime project I started about a week ago. I'm trying to make a playlist of They Might Be Giant songs that are just the good ones that I like, because I can't, it's not safe to just listen to all of it for me. So what I do is because I can't do it all day, but for like an hour every day, I will have Spotify just randomly play any They Might Be Giants, and then I move them into what I'm just deciding is the only good They Might Be Giants song. And this project is such a fucking slog.
Yeah. Well, they're super so prolific, too.
Yeah, they've done so much, and so much of it is weird and bad and like bad on purpose sometimes, I think.
Yeah.
Well, in that Ween sort of way where they're like, we're going to play a show because we're mad at our fans right now.
Yeah. So I used a huge They Might Be Giants fan when I was younger, probably like end of middle school, beginning of high school. And I felt like I kind of outgrew them. You know what you turned me onto them? Tiny Toons. Tiny Toons had two songs that they played. One of them was Triangle Man, and the other one was Istanbul, not Constantinople.
Particle Man.
I'm sorry, Particle Man. What? Not Triangle Man. Yeah.
It's okay.
Particle Man. And they did basically essential music videos to these songs, which I don't know how they got away with that. That like at some point somebody in Tiny Toons was like, hey, I really like this band. Let's just do a music video for it. And I started to really like them. I got very into them. I know them very, very well now. I'm very intimate with their catalog, but have not listened to them in probably 20 years.
I think I'm putting together a good playlist, but it's, again, I need to just step away from They Might Be Giants, because it's not just that I don't like the songs. Some of them make me actively angry because they feel like troll jobs as songs.
Even the really good ones, I feel like are clever at the sacrifice of earnestness. Like they want to be clever so badly.
Yeah.
In a way where I'm like, it's not a bit. Just do a song. You're okay to do like an earnest song. Like, I don't know. I'm trying to think of an example. Flood's got a lot of them. Flood's got like a Birdhouse in Your Soul, which could be a very sentimental and good song, but then it's like talks about Jason the Argonauts and like how you'd kill him if you were in charge of a lighthouse, and like it gets weird.
This is also I'm finding like kind of an impossible project to do, because I can't just search what are the best They Might Be Giants songs, because like they have best of albums, and I'm like no, you, I don't trust you to know. And like I can't go to our dear friend Cody Johnston, because he's too close to it. He loves them too much.
Yeah, he does.
That he thinks all, and he grew up with them, and he thinks all their music is good. It's the same problem I had with like another friend of ours, Katie Willard.
Oh, Spoon. Is
a lifelong Spoon fan.
Yeah.
And I really only heard Underdog, and I liked it. But I was like, hey Katie, make me a mix of like the good spoon songs, like some essential good spoon songs. And she gave me two full CDs. She couldn't focus it to like 12 good songs. It was like, no, here's 28 songs. I'm like, well, damn, sure. I guess I'll never listen to this.
Yeah. It's the people that are like, that are too invested, you just can't trust their opinion. Because they will come back to you and they'll be like, well, okay, here, I made you an album compilation. It's a 2-disc set. And look, you're going to have to stick through songs 4 through 7. Just gut it out. Yeah. And then you get to some good ones. Because you're like, what? Why? Why do I have to? Just give me the good ones.
Like if someone just told me, hey, I've never listened to Ben Folds or Ben Folds 5. Put something together for me. I would come back with 3 CDs, not in terms of length or amount of songs, but I would be like, this is a good one if you want like conversational Ben Folds music, and here's another album that is like what I think are the best, and this one I think you'll understand me. So whichever of those 3 Ben Folds related agendas are most important to you,
right,
I would focus on that.
Hey, you know what time it is? This is where I ask you, what's interfering with your happiness? Have you been thinking about it? Have you been taking the time to really check in on yourself ever since the first time you heard me do one of these ads? Well, BetterHelp can help you. You don't have to do this alone. BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. You can start communicating in under 48 hours, so it's very quick, and all without ever having to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room. The worst case scenario, you got to sit in your own uncomfortable computer chair, which I know it's another thing on the pile, but you need a new one. It's getting old. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches so that they make it easy and free to change counselors if you need to. BetterHelp is available for clients worldwide too. And in some cases, there may be an area of expertise that they can help you with that wouldn't ordinarily be available in your local area. Anything you share, obviously, is completely confidential. BetterHelp is convenient and professional, and it's affordable, and you'll get timely and thoughtful responses. Plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions and send a message to your counselor anytime you want to. Now, there are licensed professionals in a broad array of specializations available to you. They go from depression and stress and anxiety to relationships or family conflicts, trauma, sleeping, anger, grief, self-esteem, sexual identity. There are so many, and so many people have been using BetterHelp that they're actually recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. So start living a happier life today. Get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/QQ. Join over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health. That's betterhelp.com/QQ for 10% off your first month. Thanks, BetterHelp.
Hawthorne is a premium grooming brand that tailors your personal care routine to your unique profile. We love Hawthorne, don't we, folks? We do. Hawthorne uses data from hundreds of thousands of customers to recommend perfect products for your body chemistry, skin type, hair type, and lifestyle. There's a short study-backed quiz you take, and once you do that, you get matched with your perfect grooming kit. I took that quiz, it has to have been a year and a half ago at this point, and it worked so well. I've been so happy with the results that I have never looked back. My whole bathroom is all Hawthorne all day, baby! You get free shipping on your Hawthorne order, and if you decide you're not satisfied for whatever reason with your product, they'll give you free shipping on the return as well. The quiz I took was easy, and it was quick, and I loved it. And let me pull my whole podcast apparatus into the bathroom right now. Yep, there's my Hawthorne shampoo, boom, next to it. Hawthorne conditioner, boom, next to that. Hawthorne body wash, boom, just below that. My giant amber-colored bar of Hawthorne soap. Boom! I love it. I love all of it. My Hawthorne face wash. Boom! And in the cabinets in my kitchen, I just know there are 3 Hawthorne candles in there, and I love all of them. And you guys know I'm a candle freak. We ought to call this show Wick Question. Because of candles. So make sure you're ready for anything or anyone that comes your way by taking Hawthorne's quiz today. Go to hawthorne.co. Hawthorne.co and use promo code QQ to get 10% off your first purchase. That's HAWTHORNE.co. Promo code QQ. Hawthorne.co. Promo code QQ.
I think I would have a hard time doing that with Ween. Also because with Ween, they're a band that I've seen live a few times, and Ween songs that I hated until I saw them live, I would then suddenly fall in love with. Having seen it perform, I'm like, oh, I get it. And I would then think, and then I can't ever see where my tracks were before then. I can't like look back and be like, oh, I didn't like that song. They won't like this song. I think you will love this song. Let me describe what happens live. Okay. So yeah. He puts his hand in the air and like this weird, he does this weird thing with his hand all the time. I try to describe it to you.
The live thing is no joke. Someone at work recently, I'm going to say recently, it was like 2 years ago. I haven't seen any of my coworkers in 2 years. The other day, someone at work said, they'd never listened to Dave Matthews Band. What's a good album? And I was like, this is going to sound nuts. Live at Red Rocks, like a full live album. You need to hear them like jam. It's going to sound crazy because you're going to want to,
assume
you want like, what are their hits? No, they don't, their hits are less important than the experience of letting a Dave Matthews Band concert wash over you. And they're like, hey, some of these tracks are 11-minute jams. I'm like, yeah, that's the best way to experience Dave.
How did somebody miss Dave Matthews culturally?
Let's see. If they're not listening to the radio.
Yeah, it just felt like it was so omnipresent. It was ubiquitous for such a long time. And I guess maybe it was just also the age that we were that it was seminal.
Yeah.
But it was... I didn't know a single person that didn't own Crash.
No, everyone I knew. That's true. I guess I didn't think about it when he asked me all those years ago. Because like they weren't like. There's no movie scene that is inextricably linked with a Dave Matthews Band song until Lady Bird.
Yeah. Huh.
So
if
he just spent his entire life listening to, I don't know, what radio station didn't play Dave Matthews Band? I have Sirius now, and three of my program stations might have Dave Matthews Band at any given time.
Yeah, that's another band that boy everybody grew out of at the same time.
Not me.
Yeah, you still really know him? You still listen to Satellite every other night?
No, I of the. Six like pre-chosen Sirius stations on my car radio, I would say the one that is Dave Matthews Band radio is my most reliable. If I have a long drive and I want to just like put something on and never have to skip, I'm putting Dave Matthews Band all the way.
Okay. Now there's my brother had a really funny Dave Matthews experience recently where when we were younger, we listened to Dave Matthews a lot, he and I together. I don't mean like we huddle around the fire like it was a fireside chat or anything. Like we just both listened to them a lot. Mm-hmm. Now there was a song that he was like trying to find. It was a song that I downloaded off of LimeWire. He had never heard before. He couldn't remember what album it was from or anything. And he was like, there was this song. Can I just sing you a little bit of it? Because I'm trying to find it. I can't remember it. And it's driving me crazy. So he tried. And I was like, I have no idea what that is. And then I started like just rattling off songs and trying to find something. He's describing the tempo of it and everything. And together, we just couldn't come up with it. And then a few months later, I was like, hey, did you ever find that Dave Matthews song? And he said that it came to him in a dream.
Ooh.
He was in a dream and he was walking around and the song came on at like an overhead speaker and he was like, oh, that's the Dave Matthews song I was looking for. And he sat there and just listened to the lyrics of it and then typed those lyrics into Google like when he woke up and it was the song Angel.
Oh.
And he nailed it. Like he had it. And I was, that's never been that easy for me. My brain has never just been like, here's a gift. Here you go.
Never in a dream. But I have, did you ever have like problems solved or memories come back that you were looking for while you were on a hike in nature, walking around?
Hard to say. I don't think so. No. I'm so taken by the majesty. That's the problem.
Yeah. I mean, I read about it being an actual thing that it's supposed to. Or maybe I made that up. I'm not going to Google it now because that's going to take up too much time. But some marriage of like walking and being in nature does something very positive to the brain.
Interesting.
And the most recent experience that I had with it was you texted me a joke that referenced someone we both knew. Uh-huh. He said, I'm in a fantasy sports league with Scott Hardy. And then you described a joke that you did. And I don't know if you remember this. I did not respond to your text because I didn't know who you were talking about. The name was very familiar. And I was trying to think, that's a Demand Media guy. And I don't know who it is. And I don't know why that joke would work with that person's name. I'm just not going to say anything.
Yeah.
Let Soren think his joke bombed and move on.
Yeah.
And then sometime later, I was hiking with my brother David. That was when we were backpacking in the Pemigewasset Loop. And like, I don't know, 9 miles into this trek, I was like, oh, Scott Hardy, he did sound for us in After Hours. Oh, that's very funny. That's a good joke, Soren. That's good.
I remember
this inside bit now. All right. I should tell him when I get back to land.
It does happen to me in the car. It happens to me when I'm showering and stuff. Anytime that I'm doing something that's my brain can just sort of turn off, or like it's on cruise control, it can be like, I got a little time to think now. And then stuff will come to me where I'm like, oh, I just put it all together. You know what it's like? I have a lock. I have a combination lock that I used to put on my locker at the gym. And then when I joined Equinox, you didn't need those anymore. And so it just sat in my car for a long time. And then recently I started trying out some new gyms. I went and put this lock on a locker. And then immediately after I heard the click went, I'm not confident I know what this combination is. And just like started thinking about it while I was working out and everything. And I was worrying about it. And then I thought, you know what? Maybe muscle memory will just get me there. And so I sat there in front of the locker and just started spinning it. And you know, you get that lead up like that. You get to basically like a running start with any combination lock where you just start spinning it 16 times to the right. And so I was just like, da, za, 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 za. And I was like, okay, here we go.
You got to make sure, you have to make sure that the lock also is engaged and knows that like, oh, something's happening. All right. This is the two of you will need to be working together.
It has to wake up. Right. And you have to give it fair warning that you're about to do specific numbers. It's like, oh, okay, hold on. Yeah. Let me grab a pen. All right. Tell me what you want to do. And so I just like went to a number and I was like, hope that's right. And then went to another number and I was like, okay, that feels like it could be it. And went to another number and I nailed it. Like I had it. And it wasn't like I had ever remembered what the numbers were. It was just this pattern. And I knew what I had to like go past. I needed to go past 20 or whatever on the first one. And beyond that, everything after that was exclusively this like beautiful muscle memory. But it's just, I think there are these moments where as soon as you are engaged in that polished work, like something that you do over and over and over again, like putting one foot in front of the other, your brain is just like, okay, I have these superpowers and I'm going to unlock them now.
My brain would do it. And I think this is actually a pretty common thing for folks in the service industry. When I would drive home from either bartending or waiting tables, just sitting there enjoying my thoughts, and then 20 minutes into the drive, that guy said medium rare. Fuck. I did the wrong thing and he didn't say anything. Shit. Well, not going to let it ruin my day, but just correct orders come rushing back to me when there's nothing I could do about them.
Oh, no. Oh, I should call him. Yeah, that happens when you're going to sleep, too. I guess that's probably also the same sort of thing. That's like a practiced habit where your job is to lie there and just close your eyes and just try to like disassociate. And inevitably these thoughts from 1998 start rolling in. And you're like, oh, fuck. Oh, fuck. I don't think I ever wrote my pen pal back. Or like that kind of thing. So I don't remember your question. So let's just say yes.
Yeah, I just wanted to talk about music and I'm excited for you to go on a Steel Train journey, knowing that if you just put on Steel Train as like an artist playlist, it's going to take you to some places that might upset you.
Right. And that you didn't intend for me to go. That's fair.
Yeah.
I am curious to hear what you end up doing with They Might Be Giants and what you end up putting on that list.
I have 8 on here so far. Do you want to hear them?
Yeah.
Or do you want me to wait?
I may not even know some of them because I stopped listening to them after like Flood.
It's pretty I Like Fun heavy. So I'm thinking that's the album that has like, that's so far the album that has the greatest hit rate. I've got Let's Get This Over With, which is a banger of a song.
Okay.
Mrs. Bluebeard, All Time What, I Left My Body, Another First Kiss, Man, It's So Loud in Here, this fucking band, The Guitar, and Experimental Film.
I know. The only song I know from that is The Guitar.
Really?
None of those other songs. Yeah.
That's another thing that's going to, by the end of this process, I'm going to have what I think is a perfect They Might Be Giants playlist. But if I end up with a bunch of obscure tracks that no one else knows about, that's going to be a real, real bummer for me.
I'm going to send you some and you can decide. Okay. You can like listen to them and you can be like, okay, yeah, yeah, that makes sense for this. Or you can say no, which you will most likely do with most of them. It's a personal journey for you. I discovered another band recently, Dan, that I'm excited
another
about. Another van that I'm excited about.
All right.
Have you heard of the
Are we talking like Wilder or Plymouth Voyager?
Yeah, like the Aerostar.
Okay.
I discovered a band recently, and the first few times that I heard this song from the band, I thought for sure it was the Islands. Or Islands. I thought for sure it was Islands, and it's not. It's a band called The Vaccines, or actually I think it's just Vaccines. Boy, am I having a hard time with these signifiers. It is The Vaccines. Okay. And they have a song called I Always Knew. And I thought it sounds so much like the guitars, everything in it is very, very Islands in a way where I was like, it has to be them. And no, it's this band that's been around since like 2011 called The Vaccines. And I'm really liking them. And I think this is like in our Venn diagram of music that we like, it's right in that overlap. It's right in that shaded region because the lead singer is not trying.
Hell yeah.
And there's a lot of like fun tempo stuff happening. And the lyrics are smart, I think. So give them a shot.
All right, I will.
See if you like them. Thanks to Honey, manually searching for coupon codes is a thing of the past. Honey supports over 30,000 stores online, and they range from sites that have tech and gaming products to popular fashion brands and even food delivery. There's nothing you can't save on if you use Honey. It's very easy. All you have to do is when you check out, the Honey button drops down, and all you have to do is click Apply Coupons. You wait a few seconds as Honey searches the coupons from thousands and thousands of places all over the internet. And if it finds a working coupon that'll save you some money, you watch those prices drop. Honey has found its over 17 million members, over $2 billion in savings. Some of that $2 billion, that could be yours. Why not wet that beak? I use Honey all the time. I used Honey recently when I bought some new climbing shoes. Yes, I decided it was time. My old climbing shoes were very small because I've always believed that the smaller the climbing shoe, the better your chances are of staying on the rock. And after a while, it just wasn't comfortable to climb anymore. And I thought, you know what? I deserve this. So I got some new climbing shoes online and Honey saved me $14. If you don't already have Honey, you could be straight up missing out. It's literally free and installs in a few seconds. And by getting it, you'll be doing yourself a solid and supporting this podcast. Get Honey for free at joinhoney.com/QQ. That's joinhoney.com/QQ. All right. Well, I have a quick question for you.
All right. Go ahead.
I told you recently that I was watching The Sopranos and that I was really demoralized and disheartened to learn that Tony Soprano in the first episode of that is like 39 or 40.
Yeah.
Because that's how old I am. And I look at Tony Soprano and I go, no. No, we're not. That we can't be the same age. Somebody had just posted on Twitter the other day that in the first episodes of the show Frasier is like 40. Also didn't make me feel very good. If you go,
that doesn't make you don't look at Frasier and be like, oh man, I look so much better than Frasier.
No, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work. It only makes you think, oh no, is that what they're supposed to look like? I haven't looked at the portrait in my attic in a long time, but if it looks like that, then I'm in serious trouble. So then I started just doing this deep dive into like the ages of different characters on shows, and for the most part live action, it's all fine. It's all like, It's what you'd expect, or maybe everybody's playing a little younger. That's fine. But it gets really fucking crazy with cartoons where like I started looking at the ages of cartoon characters. And as a kid, you don't know, because as a kid, anyone over 20 years old is old. Like you'd have no context for at what point things should be happening in your life. And that's fine because kids don't know, and I didn't realize it till now. But also, it's not kids making those shows. Like, there's adults making these shows and just making these crazy choices. I'll give you some examples. So
yeah,
I looked up the Jetsons. George is 40. That's fine. George is 40. Jane is 33. A little younger, I would say.
Whoa!
Yeah, Jane's pretty young. But here's the rub. Judy is 16 years old. Their oldest daughter is 16, which, if my math is right, and generally it's not, that means that Jane was 17 years old when she had Judy. Probably 16.
Did we not talk about this on After Hours?
We didn't. No, this is...
Wow.
Yeah, this is... wild.
Wow.
Here, I'm going to give you another one.
Yeah.
How old do you think that Gargamel is?
Gargamel, the...
From the Smurfs, that...
Yeah, he's not a monster, right?
No.
He's just a wizard who wants to eat the Smurfs?
He's a
Or is
bald,
he just a guy?
He's like a bald, hunched over wizard who runs around in a big burlap sack or a cloak, I guess.
Yeah.
But he's got that raspy voice. How old do you think Gargamel is?
I'm going to say a hard 52.
Yeah, I would think so, too. No, Gargamel's in his 30s. Gargamel's like late 30s. Gargamel,
it is.
You're the same age as Gargamel.
Yeah, it's not. I think I get what you're saying with the fact that, like, creators made these decisions. Writers and animators decided, because it's not like I'm not looking at Frasier and being like, oh, man, in the past, that's what a 39-year-old looked like. But I am looking at Gargamel and thinking about a bunch of professional writers who are like, yeah, this guy looks 36. That's what I think of when I think of 36-year-olds.
And I guess maybe it's like medieval times and things are different then. I don't know. But yeah, he's like late 30s. And that really bummed me out. But then I started just like reading the biographies of these characters because I started to get very invested. And I looked at the Flintstones. Flintstones are pretty good in age. But then I just started just discovering these crazy facts. Like Wilma, Fred Flintstone's wife, has a maiden name. Do you want to know what it is?
Wilma. Can you tell me if it's
not,
like most of the other names, that it's not,
it doesn't,
it's not something rock related at all?
No.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's a real, it's dark horse name.
Onassis.
That's a great guess. But no, that's wrong. Wilma's maiden name is Slag Hoople. I also found out that Betty and Barney never had a child.
They adopted Bam Bam?
Bam Bam showed up on their doorstep. Somebody had dropped off an infant on their doorstep. And then there's a whole episode where they go through a legal battle for custody of Bam Bam. A legal battle in an episode of the Flintstones for custody of a child that was dropped off on their doorstep.
What?
Yeah.
Against whom?
Perry Masonry. That's the lawyer that I think they're fighting against.
I fucking love the Flintstones so much. That's so great.
I found out that you watched Ninja Turtles when you were young.
Yeah.
Okay, Bebop and Rocksteady. Mm-hmm. Rocksteady's the rhinoceros and Bebop is the
warthog.
I don't know if this means anything to you. Maybe it doesn't. Bebop is black.
Okay.
Did that change anything for you?
No?
Yeah.
I think I did know that.
When I was a kid, when there were any punks were presented in pop culture, they're like with a mohawk and like those little glasses and piercings and stuff. Punks, when I saw them as kids, were, that was like a white culture thing. And in the 90s, they were just like that, but he's going to be black.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess that didn't jump out at me because I remember him in human form.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Yeah.
I don't think I ever knew them in human form. All right, well, that one doesn't matter to you. Oh, I think I forgot to tell you about Gargamel.
It's
Go ahead.
It's just so funny to me that you're doing all these revelations. And I was really like trying to think, like, why is he telling me that Bebop was black? Because there's no way he just learned that.
I just learned it.
I was really giving you the benefit of the doubt. Be like, okay, what does it culturally mean? That he was the warthog.
Nothing.
I don't. I'm trying to.
It was just like finding out Snake Eyes. Like Snake Eyes was El Salvadorian, I'd be like, I got to bring that up. Gargamel is a thing I forgot to tell you about Gargamel, and I don't know why they put this in his past. His direct ancestor is Judas, the one who betrayed Jesus. Good don't know Lord. Why that mattered to them. And then just a couple more here, Dan, that I found. One is that Inspector Gadget. Did you ever watch Inspector Gadget?
Sure did.
So everything that on his body, obviously, is voice command. He just says, go, go, Gadget, and then whatever it is, except for one thing. The phone. He has a phone in his hand, and it's he cannot use that by using his voice. Like, he only can be called on it by his boss. And it's like, yeah, he's it's a pinky in his thumb, like you're pretending to be on the phone. But he also has a phone in his hat, too, that he just never uses. Then there's one last one that really threw me, and that's that in Yogi Bear, Boo Boo. Who do you think Boo Boo is to Yogi?
Nephew?
Yeah, that sounds right, right? It's not son, but they always do that with shows, like there's a nephew.
Yeah.
Boo Boo's another adult bear. That's just small.
They're just buddies?
They're just friends.
That's fun.
So anyway, I pored over this for a while, just thinking about these different shows. And I was like, okay, well, what the fuck am I going to find out about Smurfs now? And like going and doing a dive into it, being like, okay, I learned a lot.
Yeah. Here's a follow up quick question. Are you on a deadline or something?
Oh, that's a great question. Why would I be doing this right now? No.
Yeah. This really reeks of... Look, I can't focus on work right now. This is way too important.
I have a lot of things accumulating in my life outside of work that I'm supposed to be getting done.
I see.
And they're like tough stuff. Like they're things where there's a lot of details to it, renovations and things like that. And there's going to be a party for my 40th, and we're also going to do a different party for Colleen's. And all these things kind of... there's stuff I should be doing constantly in all my free time. So naturally I'm doing none of it. And instead.
Yeah, of course.
Doing deep dives into the Scooby-Doo for 50, 55 minutes. And then being like, no, nothing in Scooby-Doo. Oh, well. And just moving on.
Time enjoyed is not time wasted.
I don't know that I enjoy it. but anyway, I was blown away.
Flintstones, I'm really hung up on Flintstones Perry Masonry.
Yeah.
Because I should probably rewatch all of Flintstones, because it seems like what a sweet writer's room that must have been. Because it's just basic sitcom plots. And then every once in a while, someone has to be like, and they put on the TV, and on the TV, they're watching the Tonight Show with Johnny Roxon.
Good. Yeah, that would have been
it. Yeah, now it's Flintstones. That's what makes it Flintstones, baby.
Right. It's got to, yeah, it's just puns on all that
old
shit.
It's fully an episode of The Honeymooners, but then they're like, oh, but then he has to go to work at the, rock plant.
The rock
dinosaur. Rock dinosaur. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, which is why Slag Hoople is such a, a weird turn, a weird left turn. I looked up Betty's as well. Betty's isn't as weird, but it's still a little bizarre. Betty's maiden name is McBricker.
McBricker?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sounds like pornographic somehow to me. I don't know why. Maybe it's just because Betty's hot.
it opens up a whole world of like, oh, before... So there was... like Scotland, there was like some kind of prehistoric Scotland.
It does
with their specific naming conventions.
It is weird.
Like when Fred would get a concussion and then become Italian somehow. Yeah, he'd be like, "It's me, the race car driver." I'm like, well,
wait a second.
Where is he from? What are you talking about?
And everybody knows what a race car is. Yeah. McBricker. Yeah, I guess it would have to have come from there. Where are they? Do we know? Do we assume that they're in the United States?
In the town of Bedrock, you fucking stump. Did you not come across that in your research?
Pangea? I meant bigger. Where the fuck are they?
Where is Bedrock? All right.
Yeah. Well, anyway, this is not the end of my searches, by the way. I'm confident that this my other chores will not go away. So I'm going to be looking through Hanna-Barbera for a long time. I'm going to get deep. I'm going to go into, like, the original Ghostbusters. The Ghostbusters mm-hmm. that were on Hanna-Barbera that were, I think they had, like, a season of it, and there was an ape in it.
Yeah. There's a, so according to Wikipedia, Bedrock's population was 2,500 people. That is...
That's huge.
That's more than my current town. Oh, it did swell to 30,000 in a dream sequence in the sixth season episode entitled Rip Van Flintstone.
What?
God, I love this show.
Why? Why? What? How could that be a plot point that your town went up 5,000 people in a dream? I don't want to hear about anybody's dream.
Hey, Fred, I had a dream. Our population went up 5,000 people.
I'm going to... If you can stretch that Barney impression for a little bit longer, I'm just going to silently read the Wikipedia page about Bedrock.
Okay. It was the craziest thing. Everything was the same, except, you know, that little vacant lot over on the end of at the end of O'Shale? Well, there was a house there. A new family had moved in, and it was happening all over Bedrock. Well, not all over Bedrock, but enough that I noticed when I was at the grocery store.
Sure. There's that's all really good stuff. There's definitely some cracked style articles to be mined out of just really digging into this history, because just even things that I'm sure were written for, like, you're doing this show for however many seasons, you need a this episode, you need a that episode, you need, you know, body switching, mistaken yes. identity, memory loss, whatever it is.
Spending the night at a scary house.
And so, yeah. And just this a throwaway line in this Wikipedia page. Also located near Bedrock is Camp Millstone Army Base, where Fred and his best friend Barney were stationed after they were mistakenly inducted into the army. So I'm sure that was just like the writer's room. We're thinking like, yeah, oh yeah, it would be fun to do like an army episode, put them through boot camp, basic training kind of stuff. You know, we'll do like some MASH homage or whatever, or a platoon homage, whatever. We just want to do like the army episode of the Flintstones. But that just opens up a whole world of, like, who are they going to war with?
Right. It's kind of exciting. It's yeah. exciting just to think about.
It's also pretty exciting. We don't need to do anything with it.
Yeah. That panic is gone, huh? The panic yeah. that used to feel it cracked when, like, a new piece of information would present itself to you. And instead of getting excited, you would go... Oh, no.
Yeah, you come across the Flintstones had an army episode, and then it's like, okay, do I think, will I be able to find three more things of escalating surprise to fill an After Hours episode? Like, I guess I'll watch all of Fraggle Rock and hope that they went to war.
It was a nightmare, honestly. Because and you like, I have to present this in the best possible way, and you're like, yeah. That means that I need more of these. I need other examples so that I can demonstrate a pattern. And like, yeah. You'd just be barking up these trees forever, and there'd be nothing there. The worst example, we did an After Hours episode of timelines, like timelines and shows that mess up, that don't add up. And
yeah, Soren wasn't really our title guy.
I wrote that episode, not the title, but I remember going through different shows and just going through their entire history, not watching every single episode, but like watching maybe 40% of the episodes and then reading the synopses of other ones and trying to like deciding maybe this will be it. maybe in How I Met Your Mother, there'll be something with the relationship between him and his wife, or him and his mother. No, not his mother. He doesn't marry his mother in that, right?
Yeah. No, that show is about how he meets his own mother. How I Met My Mother.
And getting nowhere. I mean, coming out of the other side and being like, well, that wasn't it. I burned 2 days on that and that wasn't it. So now I'm going to move on to Friends.
Yeah. Ugh.
Now we don't have to do it anymore, and that's great.
No. And now when you do your deep dives into Smurfs, it's just to put off drafting your living will or whatever you're supposed to be doing right now.
The nice thing also is that Cracked isn't doing that shit anymore either. Cracked has clearly moved on to just like, hey, did you see this viral tweet?
Yeah, I noticed that. I think I just saw it from Robert Brockway sharing the cruel irony that there's a Cracked article that is just a rundown of a tweet that he made.
It was so brutal. It was so literally Media is a company that bought Cracked and then fired a bunch of our friends, fired Alex, fired Brockway. Did Jason get fired or did he leave on his own terms?
He left on his own.
And those guys were institutions at the site, and it was very unceremonious, and it was, I don't think that there were, it was amicable by any means. No. I think it was pretty abrupt. And then Brockway tweeted something about the guy who invented burpees, and it was a man with the last name Burpee, which is itself a joke. Like, and then with the guy, there's a picture of him that's also this barrel-chested, weird sailor. And it's all very funny. And so then his tweet went viral. Cheeseburger found it, which Cheeseburger is owned by Literally Media. And they were like, hey, look what the internet, or look what Twitter discovered. Like, Twitter discovered this guy and they did burpees. No indication that they knew who Brockway was or that he had worked for them or anything like that. And then it became apparent in like the subsequent tweets and everything. They must have known because they are also an aggregate and they start putting up on those articles where it's just like this limp write-up of what's going on and what happened with the tweet. It autofills with other tweets that about the same subject that are doing very well on Twitter. And they're clearly going through them. And any of the ones that were Brockway talking about being fired from Literally Media, they're just like, no, we're not going to put that one on there. Oh, look at this one. It got 300 people looked at this one. Over 20 people engaged with it. Anyway, that's my own gripe with them.
Yeah, it's there are plenty of gripes to be had all around with that site. It's very fitting to me that outside of like the occasional Comic-Con event where we actually had like a crowd of people who were excited to see us and like screaming and clapping for us, outside of that, there was never a time when it felt like I was on solid ground to say that I worked for Cracked. When we were first starting out, no one knew what the site was, and even when it was popular, a lot of people were not aware that the articles that they were reading every day on Facebook or on Twitter were from Cracked.com and put together by a bunch of people. And now that it's the future, I don't say that I used to work for Cracked, because what if people go to that website right now?
Yeah, that's true. It is a real bombardment of ads if you go now.
Yeah.
But anyway, I don't begrudge my time there. I was like, I needed that. No. We were very lucky to be there when it was happening, and I think we made the most of it and tried to make the best content that we could. And they're probably doing the same thing right now. And it's just the internet's a different place.
Yeah.
Well, I guess we should end the show.
Sure.
All right. I'm going to tell you where you can find all of us, and I'm going to tell you that email address where you can send your version of our theme song. I don't know lyrics. I haven't made my mind up about that. Probably not. I assume that I like Dan's intros underneath it. I don't want to hear lyrics over that. Mm-hmm. So I guess no lyrics. Can I make that stipulation?
No, I don't want to give them too many restrictions because like, what if we get, here's a, for instance, what if we get like 5 really great ones and one of them happens to have lyrics in it? I think we would probably start each episode with one of these songs and at least like give them a fair shake.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. Yeah.
I would, this is like complete vanity on my part, and like, don't you want someone Don't you want to hear your name sung?
Yeah, that sounds really nice. All right. Well, you can do that. You can go to email it. You can email that song to qqwithsorenanddaniel@gmail.com.
I don't think you can.
You don't think so?
Oh, yeah, you can. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. You can follow Daniel on Twitter @DOB_Inc. You can follow me @Soren_LTD. You can follow Quick Question @QQ_SorenandDan. You can follow us on Patreon and get some additional content where Dan and I answer questions from you, the listeners, @Patreon/QuickQuestion. And there's also another person that exists in this podcast who's our producer, our sound engineer, and our editor. Don't bother finding him. He's a ghost, and his name is Gabe Harder. That's it. Bye.